Welcome to That's My Personal Business, where we are pulling back the curtain on all things personal, all things business, and all things in between. Every Monday, we're hopping into your headphones to help you skip the learning curve by hearing from industry professionals, including myself. I am a destination wedding photographer turned business coach who now gets to lead hundreds of creative entrepreneurs in building lives of artistic growth, wealth, and freedom. And now it's time for you to do the same. Hello, hello, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of That's My Personal Business. I'm so excited to have you here for our third week of Money March. Money March has been so much fun, and getting your guys' feedback on how much you've been loving these episodes has been like my favorite thing in the world. I've just been obsessed with how this month has gone so far. And on the back end, this month has been crazy. This month has been so insane. I tend to like let my business come and go in waves, and this is like very much a flow month rather than an ebb month, and things have just been crazy between the two artificial light workshops and in-person coaching calls. Like, so much has been going on. I've had so many shoots going on, I've had so many in-person meetings. It's just been so much busier than my normal flow of business, and it's been so much fun, but I'm so tired. I am an introvert through and through. And I'm realizing though that I like get so much fuel and fire from in-person events despite being an introvert. And so I've got to figure out like what the future of Eden Strader events is going to look like, because I love having them. Like, they fuel me so much, but I'm also so introverted that I think I need to like pad the workshop days with like days of recovery, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know. That's kind of what my brain is thinking right now. But anyway, the artificial light workshops have been such a dream. We have the second one on Tuesday, aka tomorrow, when you're listening to this. And I'm like so excited. We're doing Madonna In vibes. The reviews that we've been getting for the workshops already have just like made my heart so full. Like, it's been such a beautiful experience to work alongside such beautiful humans and women and like teach them a skill that they can take and apply to their actual work rather than just a pretty portfolio. Like, it's so fun, and it's so rewarding to like empower people like that, and to see them so empowered, and to see them fall in love with this thing that they usually are so scared of. And it's just been, I don't know, it sounds cheesy, but I'm like, it's just been such a beautiful experience. I'm so excited about it. So I'm thinking maybe we'll host them a little bit more often. So we're starting a wait list for the artificial light workshops, which you can find in the show notes below. But I don't want to take up too much of your time today before we dive into yet another amazing Money March episode. So let's go ahead and just get started. Let's dive in. All right, you guys, welcome to the podcast, and welcome Mandy Thomas. Mandy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. Can you introduce yourself for those that don't know you yet?
Yes. So I am Mandy Thomas, and I am a financial coach and bookkeeper at Intentionally Wealthy Coaching. And my journey here, I was absolutely not the type of person that was going to be a financial coach. This was totally not my dream, but from growing up with a lot of scarcity around money, it led to a ton of money anxiety in my early 20s, and I ended up getting incredibly sick. And it was through my health journey of realizing what actually led me here was just so much unprocessed scarcity from growing up. And I was the person who actually did really well with my money once I had graduated. And I had saved and invested over $250,000 by the time I was 26. And I thought, wow, I wasn't in debt and I still got this sick, because I was just constant fear of like running out of money and not having money for food and things that kind of I grew up with, and realizing that it really doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, you can still have an incredible amount of anxiety around money. And I took a step back and went, wow, I really want to help people with their biggest stressor in their life. I'm good with managing it. But now, after going through this health crisis, I realize now the emotional side, and money is not just all tangibles, and these are the steps to do, and just helping people to hold a space so they can process those emotions and they don't feel alone in whatever those struggles that they have. And that's kind of what led me to doing what I'm doing now.
Oh my God, what a journey. That is wild.
Yeah. So it was me just really realizing that, you know, a lot of times there's so many things we think about tangibles with money that affect our money. And for me, it was really realizing like I couldn't sleep. You know, I was going through tons of anxiety. I had had my first panic attack and I never wanted to experience that again. And then even things like binge eating, realizing how all of those things, we don't know how to process those fears around money, which I think every single human has, that there is going to be some sort of outlet that we turn to that is probably not healthy for us. And so that's where it came of just wanting to have safer spaces to just talk about money. Yes, the tangibles, but also what are the things that are preventing us from doing those things? Why are we afraid to dive into this? And how do we work through that?
Ooh, so that's like a great segue into my first question, which was like, where did you start? Like, I truly think, like you said, like a lot of it is what we think about money, and you had so much saved and still had so much anxiety. So, like, where did you start in your money journey?
Yeah, so for me growing up, I just knew that I didn't want to feel that scarcity that we did growing up in a low-income household. So then I got a high-paying job. I went in to be a power engineer, which I actually really loved. And so for me, that was what I thought would fix everything. I just thought, just if you make a lot of money and you manage it well, there's going to be no problems, because growing up, it was just like I seen that lack of money, what that would cause. But then what happened was I'm in my early 20s making a really high wage. And now I feel actually the shame of, well, I make all of this money and I don't have debt and I manage it well. Why do I still feel so scared? Why do I still feel that anxiety? But I shouldn't feel this way. So I can't tell anyone because people are going to say, we wish we had your problem. So I felt so alone in it and I didn't open up to anyone about it. And it was really going through and working with someone on that. I reached out actually originally to someone to work on my anxiety, and it was going through the anxiety and the binge eating and her having me journal and realizing what were those thoughts right before that panic attack and right before I went on that binge of eating everything. And it was so interesting to see the patterns that I was totally numb to and not aware of previously. And every single time it was a thought would come up about money and then I would just spiral. It would be, I'd lose my job, I have nothing, we don't have a house, there's no food. And it would just go to like the worst case scenario. So a big thing for me was learning, how can you go through and process those feelings? And actually, something that I was going to recommend later on in the podcast was tapping. Tapping is such an incredible modality for those who haven't heard about it. Some people will call it EFT, emotional freedom technique. And so basically what you do is all those thoughts that are just going through your head that are causing a lot of that anxiety and the fear and the worries, it's actually getting them out of your body, putting a voice to them. And I find that this is actually incredibly helpful, especially for women, because a lot of times you feel like you don't really have a voice when it comes to things, and you don't feel heard and you don't feel understood. And I find that by working through a process like this, where you just say out loud, so for example, for entrepreneurs, it could be if you're going through a rough season of business where you're more in an ebb, there's not as much income coming in, or you know, this is tax season and maybe you're not prepared for taxes, maybe your books aren't prepared. Maybe you're behind on those. Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, I am definitely not gonna have enough set aside for taxes. And all of those fears and worries, literally saying them out loud in a safe space, probably by yourself, is the easiest, to be really honest. And to just basically pretend like you are talking to a great friend on the phone and they're just holding space for you and saying it, and then just tapping on, there's certain acupuncture points of your body. I tell people who are brand new to it, don't overthink it. I just tell them to just tap on the collarbone point, so then they don't not do it because they're afraid that they're not doing the sequence right. So I say just tap on that and it'll just help your body to start calming down. And one of the other things too is I find that it really helps people to feel understood in their struggles so then they can work through them. Versus a lot of times, I think when it comes to manifesting and different things, there is like sometimes there can be that aspect of toxic positivity. So then people aren't being really honest. And so this helps you to be honest and then say, you know what, like, I just want to feel like I understand taxes better and that I can just sit down and do my bookkeeping and I understand this and I don't procrastinate it. And I want it to feel like it's neutral. This doesn't mean anything about me. And just all of the ways that you want to then feel, like, what is it, how you want to feel? What is it that you want to manifest? And I find that it just makes it's a very approachable and it just feels like a very honest way of moving through all of those emotions and feelings. And it can be very powerful when it comes to your money.
Wow, that is such a amazing and like tangible tip, I think too, because like it's And I think it's even like for those listening, it would be a great thing to like pause this episode and like do that and release that, because that was my one hesitation with like we're dedicating the whole month to Mar of March to money, and like my one hesitation and the one thing I like really hoped someone would talk about, so thank you, was mindset, because I think it's so easy to get like immediately overwhelmed, immediately stressed, and you're not going to be able to implement anything or move forward with other tangible steps with money if you are like freaking out about all of the money that we're having to discuss.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a really big thing missing in the personal finance space. There's so much information of what to do. But if you feel really scared and you feel ashamed and you feel worried, it does not matter that you know all of the steps. You're not going to do it. You're not going to get those results. And this really hit home for me. So I've been coaching full time in the financial space for since 2017. And I have accountants that have came to me, bookkeepers, financial planners, financial advisors. One of my current clients right now owns a big financial management company. And it is so interesting because those clients who have literally more names behind their more letters behind their name. They've studied finance, where I am more self-taught, and then took certifications afterwards. It is so interesting because those are people that are more technically savvy when it comes to money, but it is very emotional. So it might be easy for them to help other people or manage other people's monies. And that's when it really made me realize how much the emotional side affects the results that you get, and that until people start talking about this and helping people through, most people, their behavior with money is to avoid it. It really is to be like, no, I'll deal with this later. A lot of people will procrastinate and say that they don't have time, but really, it's so much of a fear of what am I going to find once I dive into it. And that's why I think it's so powerful. And especially for entrepreneurs, I really do think it's even more important because you have two sets of finances. People who are self-employed or people who are employed by someone else, and let's say that they make a very, very consistent amount. That is very different for their nervous system when they pretty much know that if they show up to work and they do a good job, that every 2 weeks they're going to get paid X amount and that they only have one set of expenses. Being an entrepreneur, really, there is so much more going on. There's so much more variability, so many more factors. So I think in that case, it is even more important whether it is something like tapping, but having some sort of outlet to work through all of the fears. Every single person, it does not matter how much they make, has fears that come up when it comes to entrepreneurship and when it comes to your money and when it comes to taxes. And you need something to help you work through it. So then you can be on top of things and you can manage that money well.
Oh my God. No, that's all so amazing. Do you have like, what was like, okay, so I'm like, I have so many questions. I gotta decide which way I wanna go. After you kind of mastered the mindset side of things, I wanna kind of talk about what your next step is. So, like, say people get to a point where they're like, okay, I'm ready to talk about my money. I'm ready to like figure out what to do with it or how to gain more of it. I would love to kind of hear two perspectives, if we could do two, on like one, what the next step should be if you have a surplus of money. So, like, say you're in a place where you have a savings account, it's pretty significant, you've been saving, you still have that anxiety. But could we also talk about those that maybe don't have that yet and like they're really almost starting at ground zero?
Yeah, so what I would say there is first, really focusing on the bookkeeping side and just keeping track of things is really important because as soon as your business does start to take off more, that's when you're going to owe something in taxes. And what I typically find is people are like, oh, I'm not making enough. I'm not going to look at them yet. And then they cross that threshold. And then all of a sudden it comes this time of year. And then their accountant's like, okay, this is what you owe. And they feel so blindsided that that first year of taxes and the second year can be super traumatic. And also it can make it very hard for people to catch up from that. So that's what I would say is it can be something really simple that you're starting with. A spreadsheet, honestly, for people at the beginning is good because it's a lower barrier to entry because they don't have to learn something as in-depth. So that's what I would say is if you're really just starting off, really be on the bookkeeping side of just keeping track of everything and knowing what the numbers look like. I would also say with that as well is in the beginning when you're not making as much as you want to, that's a really great time to use tapping. So for example, for me, it was a huge difference going from what I made as a power engineer to, you know, especially in 2017, money coaches were not common. I really do feel like I was one of the original financial coaches. So much was education on. Now it's a lot different when it comes to financial coaches. So that's something in the beginning is when you're inputting those numbers and you're not seeing what you want to see, having something to help you through those feelings to process them so you stay on top of the bookkeeping. Then when it comes to, let's say, for example, you do have money in savings, let's talk a little bit more on the personal side. I'm a really big fan of not just having one savings account. What I coach my clients on is on the personal side, having what I call savings buckets, because it can be really hard to tell how much money you have actually available to you in savings versus how much do you need for what's coming up in the pipeline. The other thing that is very interesting when it comes to using money from savings, we feel a lot of shame and guilt when we tap into money and savings to use it for anything. So yes, you might use it for a trip, but it doesn't mean you actually enjoyed that trip as much because there was just so much emotion and you were so stressed about it. So what I have clients do is typically the vast majority of my clients have at least 8 personal savings accounts.
Wow.
So travel, every single client has a travel fund. So when you see that money, you 100% fully enjoy it for travel because that's exactly what it was listed as. You're not stealing from Peter to pay Paul to be able to go on that trip. All of my clients will have an account for gifts for things like Christmas time, medical, if they have kids, like a kids activities fund, and, you know, annual fees. So there's a few different areas. Vehicle repairs, that's one, you know, when your vehicle breaks down or something goes, or even if it's something small, we get so resentful. And this just helps to make it a little bit easier and to cover tires. You know, we all need tires every, you know, 3 to 4 years. So that's what I tell clients when it comes to savings, is to break out their savings into those different categories that apply for their life. So they really know how much they have. There's so much peace of mind when you know how close you are. Are you going to be able to cash flow that trip? What does that look like? How close are you to it? And then additionally, I have them an emergency fund separate. When 2020 first hit and I hated the financial advice that was being shared, because you could look on every blog and what it was telling people was to build a 3 to 6 month emergency fund when people were literally either losing their jobs or afraid of losing their jobs, which I felt was so tone deaf, that information that they were sharing. And so that's another thing where I do not have my clients build their emergency fund as their first personal savings. It's actually their last savings, because their emergency fund is something that they shouldn't really be dipping into very often, but their savings buckets, you're typically dipping into those every few months. Like, those savings buckets are expenses that are coming up. They're what I call your one-off and bigger expenses. That's what you really think about for your savings buckets. So that's what I would say in regards to someone who has a lot of money in savings. First, go ahead and distribute it into those different buckets. And then if you have extra left from there, then put some of that into your emergency fund. And then let's say there is still additional money left over, that is amazing to put it to investments. And the reason that I say these different areas to allocate is also because if you just take and straight it throw it into investments, the first little hiccup that you get, you are wanting to pull that money out. And it depends what kind of investment account you put it in. You don't want to have to pay taxes basically on it. And the other thing is, it's not just about that piece, but it's about how much shame someone feels, especially for women, when they pull money out of somewhere that they wanted to leave it. That can leave such a lasting effect on your confidence to manage money. So that's why I say that too, is also to avoid feeling disappointed in yourself. So when you have money earmarked to these certain areas, you can just enjoy it so much more, but also feel just that sense of like being grounded in your body, that you're covered, you have enough. And I think that that's really important. The more that people can feel a sense of financial safety and security, not only will they make more in their business, but your daily quality of life is so much better. You sleep better. You don't have that anxiety.
No, those are such, I'm like, this is all so helpful. And I think it's so refreshing to hear to make like your emergency fund last, because I think that truly is one of the things that gets pushed the most. And like, for a lot of us, I'm like, that's a lot of money to have your emergency fund. And so it can be really scary to take money from what seems like money you're going to need to use soon and put it in that emergency fund and then not want to touch it. So I love the idea of like filling up the other buckets first before you move there. That's amazing advice.
Yeah. And that's something that I also just want to touch on lightly about the emergency fund. Something I think is, we need to set more of a realistic standard of like, how long typically can it take to build that up? Now, of course, it depends on your income and everything like that and what your spending is. But most people, it is going to take them 2+ years. It might easily take someone 4 years to build up that 3 to 6 month emergency fund. And that's also absolutely okay. Like, don't lose steam. That's actually very normal. And that was another thing that really bothered me, is just the way that people present it makes it seem like you should be able to do that in 3 months. And if you can't, then there is something wrong with you. It's there's a lot of advice that's just put out there because it's just what everyone, they just kind of a regurgitation of information. And that really annoys me. And I just want to be very honest about cash flow, that if it takes you years to build that up, congratulations, you're a normal human being.
Yes. No, I think that's, so, I'm like, thank you for saying that. Cause I think that's so, I've never heard someone say an actual time frame for that. And every time I talk to anyone about it, I feel like it's almost as if it should already exist. Like you feel like you're behind when you haven't even gotten started, which is so stressful.
Absolutely. And then when you feel disempowered about something, you don't go after a goal with that same momentum. So just setting more realistic expectations and telling people that yes. And the other thing is that I want to note is there's certain types of goals that are easier to achieve because of how we feel, how we're motivated about them. Debt, people will pay down debt faster because it feels kind of crushing. It has more of all of those negative feelings that you don't want to feel. When my clients, when I introduce them to this savings buckets concept, oh my God, they love it. It feels so motivating from like a, like they just feel so good about seeing all those accounts grow. So that is easy. An emergency fund, that money is very different because that isn't fun money. That isn't play money. That is just like in case. And that is honestly, I have found one of the hardest goals for people because it doesn't have like that emotional scale on either end. It is more neutral. So I think that's also why it's really important to say, this is going to take, you know, a few years to build up and that's perfectly fine, but don't lose steam. Actually automate that because that's going to be the one that you're not going to feel as much intensity and fire under your ass to go ahead and to really build it up.
I love the idea of automating it because I was about to ask you, like, do you have tips for motivating yourself for saving for these less fun things? Because it is less motivating. There's like not an emotional tie to it. It feels like you're like putting away money you'll never touch. And that can be really dejecting.
Absolutely. I think first diving into your why this is so important for you. So I typically see a lot more women that feel less financially secure, no matter what the numbers are, than typically men. And I really think that there is some biology and nature aspects because women are the ones who birth the next generation and literally keep the world going round and round. So I do think women naturally have more of that tendency to really be taking the big picture into account, which can then cause them more anxiety. And so that's where tying into really like you deserve to feel financially safe and secure and really diving into that why and having some reminders literally around your house. That would be a great thing to put on in whatever way that looks like visually for you, on a vision board, on your phone, different places. I also think renaming your emergency fund to something that really does tie in that more emotional side. Even sometimes I'm careful about using the word emergency fund because some people really repel it. Maybe that is your peace of mind fund, safety and security, like something that can also just make it that visually when you see that, it is reminding you of why you are putting this work in when it kind of feels like you're not really getting too far and it doesn't feel like it's really changing your life.
Oh, I love the idea of changing the name. I feel like that is so helpful to just like, cause yeah, I'm like emergency fund just sounds like, ugh. Like, I'm just like, I don't even want to touch that money. Like, cause if I have to touch that money, that means we're in an emergency.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Okay. No, this is all so helpful. So let's say you've started, like, I kind of want to go back and talk a little bit about bookkeeping and talk about spreadsheets. Like, do you have tips? I know that obviously bookkeeping comes so naturally when it comes to the business because we're like, oh, write-offs. Do you recommend doing like bookkeeping and budgeting when it comes to your personal account or how do you kind of navigate expenses in your personal life?
Yeah. So this is what I want you to think about when you think about expenses. Let's break that word down into three different categories so we can view them differently. So there's, I identified that there's three types of expenses. One is the fixed expenses, which is pretty much the same amount every single month on the same day. Those are the ones that are pretty easy for people for the most part, because they're the most consistent and they're actually pretty easy for people for the most part to take into account and to manage. The second one is your day-to-day expenses. So that's like groceries, eating out, fuel, those types of ones. Now that one can cause a lot of stress because it can vary so much month to month, how much your groceries are, how much you eat, how much you eat out. And so I have clients think about that as a separate type. And then the third type is like the one-off and the bigger expenses. So that's what's coming up in the pipeline, whether it's like these expenses are quarterly, twice a year, once a year. So that's like travel, Kids' expenses, it's Christmas, annual fees, literally your tax filing fee, all of those types of ones that they typically happen every single year, but they usually catch us off guard. Property taxes for homeowners, all of those ones. And so, what I have clients do is breaking these down. The fixed expenses are by far the easiest ones to do. Those are the ones when people are like, oh, yeah, I've got a budget. They are taking into account their fixed expenses. Then for your day-to-day expenses, that's where taking like an average of what that is. And the day-to-day expenses, those ones are really hard to track actually and to stay within a budget because they're constantly happening multiple times per pay period. Now, I know that I'm speaking more to entrepreneurs. I'm still going to say pay period, even if you're an entrepreneur, because I want you to work towards actually paying yourself from your business, typically twice a month. Twice a month works really well. So when I work with entrepreneurs, we set up pay periods, typically the 1st and the 15th of the month, or the 30th and the 15th of the month. So just want to keep in mind when I say pay periods. And something that can work really well for that is having two personal checking accounts, the one where your income is going to come into and those fixed expenses are going to go out of. And that second account, you'd probably transfer twice a month right after you've been paid, the same day or the next day. And that is for your day-to-day spending. So you don't have to track it any further, but there's like a hard kind of stop at the end of that number. And that is something that is so helpful for clients that I really like them to do. So that can be something. And if, let's say, you and a partner, if you have shared accounts, you just have two debit cards. The other thing I find is if you use your credit card for day-to-day expenses, then you are very often overspending and have no idea. And it is very hard to every single month stay on track with that. So a debit card makes it so that money is coming out of your account right away, and you're more kind of attached. You have a better understanding of actually how much you're spending in that area. So that's what I would say for that area. And then the third area, those are the savings buckets. So what you would want to do is figure out like roughly what is your travel going to be this year? What travel do you want to do this year? How much is that going to cost? And then that is, we'll take that number. So let's say it is 5,000 for the year. We'll divide it by 12, and that is what you want to save monthly in your travel savings bucket. And then you would do that same principle when it comes to those other savings buckets. And that's what I think about when it comes to the personal side. Those are ways that can make it a lot easier to manage that money. So the fixed expenses, as much as possible, automate all of them. So they will come out of your checking account for you and they are taken care of. I don't think anyone should spend any bandwidth at all on manually paying an expense. The only time I would say that that's okay is if it's something that really varies from month to month and your account balance has been pretty low and you have that anxiety and fear of overdrafting your account. So, an example could be utilities, what the difference is between summer and winter months. That would be an okay one to do manually if you wanted to. The other thing I tell clients is let's say you have a few fixed expenses that are on your credit card. Go ahead and set up a recurring transfer from your checking account that every single month pays off those new credit card charges that are the same amount. So let's say like Netflix, for example, being the same month, same amount every month. So go ahead and just automate that. It's typically listed as a transfer in most bank accounts, and then you can set up for X amount of months. And then if that amount changes, you can cancel it, set it up again, or if you decide you don't want that expense anymore, you can just cancel it in your checking account. But these are ways to make it so your personal finances are easier to manage. And then you also have more bandwidth to spend on the business side, managing the finances there.
This is all so much information. It's so helpful. Thank you. I'm like, I can tell that you're an engineer because I'm like, it all is so thorough. So thank you so much. I would love to know, like, when it comes to mindset, because like I know a lot of people will hear this and be like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I need to do now. Like, I need to set up all of these bank accounts and I need to set up automations and I need to like all of the things. How do you recommend balancing, like focusing on your finances without hyper focusing on your finances? Like, how do you kind of recommend, or do you have tips and tricks for kind of walking that line so that people can start making headway with their finances without, getting hyper fixated and then kind of spiraling?
Yeah, so I want to actually dive into what that really means a little bit more. So for example, people sometimes they will say that they don't want to feel too like controlling and that they're paying too much attention. But what's really happening, if you're not taking enough actions or you haven't set up enough actions to happen automatically for you with your finances, what usually is happening is people are just very afraid that things aren't, they're very just, they have that anxiety and they can't see things happening. They aren't on track to achieving their goals. So then they will every single day be thinking about their money, but it's not because they're thinking about it because they're managing it. They're thinking about it from worry. So I really want to distinguish the two different things there. There's definitely people who can hyperfixate on their money. I would say that that is really the exception to the rule of what I see. I see a lot of avoidance, and there will be more of that anxiety. So people will think that they are doing stuff with their money all the time, but what they're doing is they're really worrying. So that's what I would say is listen to this podcast episode and pause it and write anything down that you thought was a great tangible tip, for example, and have a little bit of a list of things that you want to do and focus on just doing one at a time. You do not need to in the next 24 hours do all of those things. That's honestly probably going to be a little bit too much for your nervous system. But what if you were to do one of those a week in the course of 3 months? That's 12 big actions you've taken on your finances. So that's what I would say is have a list and then just breaking it down, doing one at a time. And you could even do tapping before you do it. Like, let's say that there was something that you were nervous about, go ahead and tap. The other thing I would say is only do, especially when it comes to automations, that's a big thing as well that is pushed in the finance space. And I am a huge fan of it. I will also say that I really like to preface that with, if you are overdrafting your checking account, it's going to be the worst thing for you. It's only going to cause your anxiety worse. So you need to do a lot of like mini improvements first and then automate just one at a time. So when I'm working with clients, my ultimate goal is to get all of their savings buckets automated, even if they're an entrepreneur. So then I have more time to bring in money versus managing it behind the scenes. So I pay myself on the 1st and the 15th of the month. My savings bucket transfers go out on the 2nd and the 16th of the month like clockwork. I don't even do them. But that did not happen in the beginning of my business because there was not enough cash flow coming in. So that's where, in that case, you might only want to automate one. Maybe automate your smallest savings bucket amount or your most time-sensitive one. So taking this and seeing that this is going to be a journey of a whole bunch of steps, and you are just needing to take one step at a time, truly, and you will be making a lot more progress. So that's a big thing, I think, is sometimes people think that they're going to be hyper fixating, but the more that you can improve things, then you can automate more. So then ultimately you don't need to spend as much bandwidth, but in the beginning, when things are tighter, you can't automate yet. You do actually have to be watching the numbers more closely in the beginning until there's enough in the business side and the personal side that you're not worried about anything overdrafting or missing a payment.
That's amazing advice. Thank you. I think that's a great way to think of it too, is like going through a checklist and like have automation be one of your last ones, if not your last one, and just working up to that. Oh my God, this has all been so incredibly informative, Mandy. Thank you. If you could leave our listeners with like one final piece of like advice or money advice, it can be specific to anything, what would that be?
Sure. So I would love to talk just a little bit about taxes, because when it comes to taxes for entrepreneurs, it feels like such a confusing and unknown thing that then we just tell ourselves that we like don't know what we're doing and we can't do it, and we just keep putting it off. And then every year taxes feel really traumatic. And so when it comes to taxes, I want to explain just a little bit more about how they work. So as a self-employed person, how your taxes work, let's say, for example, you're either a sole proprietor, you have an LLC, it's going to be whatever your total sales are, which is called gross income. So total sales you made for the year minus your business expenses, that is going to be your net profit. Your net profit is what you were taxed on, not that total amount. So this is why it is so helpful, because when we talk about bookkeeping, people are like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do my bookkeeping, but they don't realize how important, if your bookkeeping is done on a monthly basis, you will know that net profit every month. So every single month, looking at that net profit, that is what you can then, on the cash flow management side, you can set money aside for taxes. So when it comes tax time or quarterly estimates, it does not feel like you were completely blindsided and have no idea what you would be paying. So that net profit number, then depending on where you would live, but I would typically recommend setting like 20 to 30% aside. If you're in somewhere like California, that's a higher tax state. So more like that 30% probably. But that is what I highly recommend doing, is that is to me, like, yes, bookkeeping is done for compliance for the IRS. Yes. But the bookkeeping is also so you know what to set aside for taxes on that monthly basis. That's how you can utilize that well, whether you have a bookkeeper or if you are doing this yourself. The other thing is you have to have a savings account open, because you cannot keep that in your checking account. It is too hard to know in your head looking at one number. So you definitely need to have that separate account. And if cash flow is tighter in the beginning, I recommend clients, instead of just, you know, when I say that number, so let's say it was $500 or $1,000, that's what that amount was, that 20 to 30% of your net profit. And you're like, okay, well, how am I going to pay myself and all of these other things? Then break that down into weekly amounts. So it's easier as cash flow is coming in. So maybe you're setting aside $125 a week, and that is easier on your cash flow than setting aside $500 once a month. So that's something I just, the more that you can feel empowered about taxes, not only the more that you will make in your business, but holy cow, that is a very triggering thing for entrepreneurs. So that is something that I would love for anyone to tap on, is all those fears and worries about taxes. And then reminding yourself that you actually don't need to know all of the information. You should have an understanding, but knowing if you have the right people on your team as well, that can help you too, when it comes to the accountant side and the bookkeeper side. The other thing I want to remind people of too is a lot of people think that it's just the accountant that should know this. If you're working with a great bookkeeper, and those are two very different tasks, your books should already be done for tax time to give to your accountant. Your accountant actually should not be the person doing your bookkeeping for you. So really seeing those two people as two very different people doing different roles that absolutely work together, but you shouldn't be waiting until your accountant tells you that you owe X amount. It should really be looking at that net profit every month from the bookkeeper or yourself, setting that aside, and really seeing we actually have a lot more control when it comes to taxes, but we do need to be looking at money more, and we need to be moving money more from that checking account into that savings account. And, you know, this can feel really scary doing this. And that's where, you know, maybe I'll tell clients, go for a walk either before or after, like typically after you've done some money stuff and you're feeling pretty heightened, go for a walk. Don't just sit and go back to work. Like allow yourself to like give yourself like a reward and just, you know, allow yourself to come down. So that's something, is the more you know about taxes and moving some of that money, you can have tax time where truly it is just a few tasks that you really have to do because everything was done during the year, and you can feel empowered. And it also, you're not playing a massive catch up. I am helping a lot of entrepreneurs pay off previous year taxes as well as the current year, but just know the sooner that you are on top of this, then the less that you have to set really big chunks aside for like 3 years of taxes in 1 year.
Oh my God. That, yeah. I'm like, I'll have to take a walk just to think about paying off 3 years of taxes. That like causes me stress for other people. I'm like, that is so stressful. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of like getting yourself a little treat when you have to do these things. I'm like, make it enjoyable as it can be. This is like, can be one of those things that like, you have to just be okay with it not being the funnest task in the world. And like, prepping to take care of yourself during it. So thank you so much for balancing such like personal tangible action that people can take care of themselves while also enacting everything you talked about. So thank you. That was so helpful.
Absolutely. And one of the things that really helped me in the beginning of my business, because I went from making a lot of money coming in all the time to not very much money at all. Like honestly, another thing I wish that people would say more often is entrepreneurship, even if you're doing what you absolutely love, can feel extremely traumatic. And I think we need to open up that conversation so less people feel alone and less people will work through those feelings, knowing like that's actually a pretty common thing. But what I did when I did not like updating my bookkeeping, because there was definitely more going out the door than was coming in, it was built in on Friday as a money date. It was actually in my schedule. Mm-hmm. And I know it seems like such a small thing, and I'm not a huge like time blocker type of person, but it really helped me to show up when I really didn't want to. And so that was something, it just helped me even more. For someone who loves diving into money, that wasn't very fun at that time at all. And so I would do some tapping, and then I would do my money date to just update things, even if it wasn't fun. And then I would even just go for a quick walk, and that was all encompassed in my money date. But there was probably, if I didn't have that built into my schedule every Friday, I probably wouldn't have done it very often, because it would have been very easy to just keep telling myself I was doing it later. So that's another thing too, is even if you, I would recommend once a week and just doing very small amounts. Because if you think about doing a money date, like once every 2 weeks or once a month, now all of a sudden you actually have a lot more tasks to do. So you will keep putting it off. So that's where I like, when I say money date, I really think like 15 minutes or less is awesome. Once a week, you're showing up more consistently with it. And the other thing too, is you're changing. I tell clients all the time that like you just showing up and figuring this out, because at first you're not really going to know what to do and you're not going to have a flow. You are shifting that relationship with money, saying that you're responsible. because a lot of women come to me and they say, I don't feel responsible with money. And I know that I'm blocking more coming in. Like I physically need more coming into my business, but I don't know what to do with it. And when you feel that way and you literally have that thought, like I'm irresponsible with money, it is going to keep blocking it. So allow yourself to take 15 minutes once a week to just start implementing, just start improving, and just literally showing up for yourself and saying, I know that this is uncomfortable, but I've also done scarier things and I'm going to work through this. Because the more that I do this every single week, things are really going to start to shift.
I love that idea of doing it weekly too, because I think like I'm one of those people that does it once a month, and it's a weird feeling to feel like I'm having to like suddenly be aware of a month's worth of spending, both business and personally, and like there's nothing I can do to really adjust. Like it feels very daunting to be like, I need to adjust for an entire month now, rather than like I can just adjust next week to kind of like either, you know, like compensate for last week, or like if I need to make little changes from last week, I can do that now. It's just so much more daunting on a weekly scale than a monthly scale, let alone
Absolutely.
Quarterly.
Yeah, because really, like even once a month, which doesn't sound like that much time, it really actually is when it comes to money. So once a month is we're being a lot more reactive. And like you said, because you can't adjust for it, then typically you will feel like a lot more emotional. You will feel more guilty. And then there's like that shame spiral, because when people feel shame, they will tend to avoid. And then when they avoid, they feel that shame. So that's where I see, if you think about doing it once a week for a short period of time, you're being more proactive. Then naturally you're feeling more positive about doing it, because it's a lot easier. Let's say you overspend in 1 week. It's a lot easier then for that next week to tighten up, because you can see that in real time versus feeling like at the end of a month, when it's a whole month has passed, there's just more of that guilt and shame that comes up. And the more that we can get rid of guilt and shame that people don't need to be feeling, not only will their finances shift, but to me, the biggest thing is, yes, I love my clients. Their savings accounts growing and their investments and their debt going down. The biggest thing for me is like, how do you feel on a daily basis? What is your confidence like? How are you sleeping? What is your energy level? Like, that is the big thing I really want people to realize, that the more empowered we can feel about money, no matter what our situation is, truly your daily quality of life really changes. And I think that that's the bigger thing that's even more important than talking about things like financial freedom that is highly marketed. I care about your fucking mental health and your emotional health on a daily basis. That's what really matters to me.
I love that. And I think that's such an amazing way to end the podcast, is just a reminder that like finances should help you day to day. They shouldn't just be for future you, or they shouldn't like just be for certain versions of you. It's like you need to feel good day to day. Otherwise, truly, what is it all for?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Oh my gosh. Well, Mandy, thank you. I'm like, we are going to have you on the podcast again to like dive into all of the things, because I feel like I could talk to you for hours. But for now, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing all of your knowledge. We will obviously link all of your information in the show notes, but could you let us know where we can find you online?
Yes. So my Instagram is most active, and it's at Intentionally Wealthy Co, C-O as in coaching. And then I also have a podcast called Intentionally Wealthy.
Amazing. We love consistent branding. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Mandy. And thank you guys for listening. We will see you next time.